Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, which today is Pete and Terry's at Bridgestone Arena. The Predators in action tonight. Puck drop at 7 o'clock. All the pregame coverage will start right here on 102.5, The Game, starting at 6 p.m. Joining us now is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, always appreciate our weekly chats with you. Frank Reich was fired just 11 games in the morning after the Titans beat the Panthers. What does that say about the Titans?
I don't know that we can really connect the two. Obviously, they're the, the final straw. But I really think this was a bigger picture of, hey, we get 11 games in. What kind of progress have we seen? And you know, it doesn't appear like there's been a ton of progress. C.J. Stroud has played extremely well. And I think that, you know, you have an owner who also has a history of being impatient. So I think if you look at all of those things, I mean, that's really what it's about. Not necessarily, hey, here's a bad team that you just lost to. You know, I can't handle it anymore. You know, we're done. So, that's my read into it. I think it had it been, the Raiders who beat them, I think you'd have seen a similar reaction.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, we were watching the Titans-Panthers game on Sunday. Adam Amin said, if you're watching this game, you must really love football. And that is kind of how it felt sometimes throughout the game. A little bit of a snooze fest. But I was watching Will Levis with a very keen eye, as I think a lot of Titans fans are. And Will Levis' debut as a Titan was that Atlanta game, 4 touchdowns, an electric day. And I think as we grow and see more and more of a sample size of Will Levis, maybe you're starting to see a few more of those rookie mistakes come through, which is, of course, what we expected. But what was your evaluation of Will Levis's performance against the Panthers?
Yeah, I think that the more somebody plays, especially if you play one game and it goes great, you know, the expectation is like, hey, look, that's what happened to Brady. He got in, he played great, and then he kind of continued to play great. And certainly, you know, had some off games, but it happened, you know, where you basically felt good about it almost all the time. You know, Brock Purdy, I think it's been, you know, pretty much a similar situation. I think Dak Prescott kind of had a similar rise where he got an opportunity, he played well, and there really weren't these significant growing pains. But that typically doesn't happen because, you know, if you look around at Kirk Cousins or, like other quarterbacks that they get their opportunity, there typically is a moment where, oh, okay, like, yeah, like he is a young player, he's going to learn. So I don't feel like I've seen anything. You asked my evaluation. I don't feel like I've seen anything to go, oh, like that was all fake. All the good stuff was fake. Like I haven't seen that. I think what I feel like I've seen is a young player who's done some really good things, who's still a young player, misses some things, but ultimately, like, I think that it's been more good than bad, and especially when you consider, you know, everything around him. So, you know, my evaluation is, I think it's looking smarter and smarter, to be honest, that Mike Vrabel made the move when he did.
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Now, Tim, when evaluating, let's just say these 4 quarterbacks, Will Levis, C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, and I know Richardson is injured, but while he was playing, is it more about the actual player, or is it more about who the player is surrounded by? Not necessarily players, but coaching staff, because we saw what happened in Jacksonville. And then we see once they bring in another coach how well Trevor looks. Now, he still needs to get a lot better, but he doesn't look anything like the quarterback we saw under Urban Meyer. I can possibly say the same thing about Bryce Young. He may look a lot different now that Frank Wright is not there. Mm-hmm. So how much, if you had to, you know, sort of divvy out this pie, how much of it is about the coaching staff?
Okay, let me answer it this way. I think there are very few players who elevate the players around them, but also make the coaches better. I think there's a small portion of players that are able to do that. Okay. So I think that, like, to give you an example, like, I think Peyton Manning, no matter where he was going, was going to make the players around him better. And I think he was even going to make the coaches around him better. So I think that there are some guys that, like, he's a bigger piece of the pie. Okay. Then I think that there is, you know, this next group of guys that are starter caliber players that can play really good football. And it is a much more dependent position for them than it is for Peyton Manning. And so for those guys, I would say that it is, you know, maybe 50% the coaching staff and 50% the talent of the players around you. So I think that matters. Then I think there's like a segment below those guys that could maybe play as well as the group, you know, above that I just described, where they need a little bit better players, you know, and they need a little bit better coaching, and that helps them play better than they actually are. So, but let me kind of give you this in terms of some of the guys that you asked me about. I don't think that Bryce is surrounded by really good players. Well, I think he's got good coaches, but it hasn't gone well. You compare that to CJ. I would say this. We really don't know a ton about the coaches. You know, they're kind of new in some of their roles, and they've done a very good job. I think that when you look at their talent around them, like Tank Dell might turn out to be, you know, one of the five best receivers in the game. Who knows? But look at what's going on with everybody else around him. Like, they're all playing better. Like, C.J. Stroud might be one of those players. Not saying he's Peyton Manning, but he might be one of those players that's like, nope, you know what? He's making everyone around him better. Like, I think that might actually be going on in Houston.
Yeah, I can see that being the case with C.J. Stroud, and it's just unfortunate. Even in Will Levis's case, that, you know, he comes in with a offensive line that isn't good. So you can see glimpses of it, but you can't really see what the potential he has, because in front of him, like you said, you know, sometimes in certain situations, you know, the people around you affect how good you are. Even though we may see the talent, but if there's nobody around you, then it may hamper you from, you know, growing as much as you need to grow in that particular year.
Yeah.
So
and D Mace, and like, you know, it as a receiver, like, it's very clear sometimes as a receiver, like, you're like, hey, that guy's really good, but his quarterback stinks. And so, like, his numbers aren't as good as the guy that's just okay, but his quarterback's amazing, right? Like, you lived it as a receiver, you know, playing with all the different quarterbacks that you played with, and then seeing guys that, you know, were your contemporaries and what they did, right? Like,
exactly.
There's no question that happens. I would just say this, like, as look at the quarterbacks and the guys that you described. And I think, in like with Richardson, it's just, it happened. His injury happened so early. Like, I don't think we know anything at all. Coming into the season, I think that most people believed that Houston was one of the three worst teams in football. And they're not. And so whether everybody got it wrong, or whether D'Amico Ryans is that good, or whether C.J. Stroud is that good, or whether, you know, Tank Dell was that good, like, who knows, right? But I think if we take a step back and we go, Robert Woods has actually been better than he was last year, right? So, like, that's true.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
You're not wrong on that one. And quickly before I pass it over to Willie, this Buffalo situation, will McDermott be the coach next year? Will they make a lot of changes next year if this team doesn't get into the playoffs? Because right now, you can't put it all on Josh. I don't consider Josh elite, but I don't consider him, like, you know, the bottom of the barrel either. He's a good quarterback, but he does things that quarterbacks with his experience shouldn't be doing at this time in their career. But if this thing doesn't get right, do you see a wholesale change in the coaching staff with Buffalo?
You know, I think the fact that they made a move at coordinator when I didn't think they needed one, I think that is a pretty good indication of, wait a second, like you the head coach might be in trouble. And look, I think Sean McDermott is a really good coach. It sounds like I think that Josh Allen is a better quarterback than you maybe think that he is. And like, so I think that that would be a really tough pill to swallow because they might go backwards before they can go forwards. But like when you just look at what's happened in the AFC and teams that were supposed to be good, like it's very clear two underperforming teams would be Buffalo and the Los Angeles Chargers. And look, I think you could probably say another underperforming team would be the Raiders. They've already made a move. And so, yeah, I think there's at least a danger of a change happening there. Now, when you say wholesale, I don't think Josh is going anywhere because I think there are a ton of teams that would love to have him.
I was just, I should have specified just the coaches.
Yeah, I think the coaching situation could be in trouble there, just like it'd be in trouble in you know, some of those other situations. In Cleveland would be another one that, obviously in trouble.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. And, Tim, with those underachieving teams you mentioned, then you throw in the Burrow situation, there's this huge opportunity in the AFC. And you got all these teams that are sort of in the middle. One of those teams that I thought fit kind of what you were saying about Houston is the Colts. They're sitting there at 6-5, and all of us are thinking, you know, before the season, if you told me that Richardson is going to get hurt early, they'll be going with Gardner Minshew. 6-5 seemed like no way, but here they come to Nashville as a favorite against a team that's 4-0 in this stadium.
Yeah, I think that the surprise teams that are in the mix, obviously Indy, as you said, Houston, for sure, and then the other one would be the Denver Broncos. I mean, those are the teams that I think really, really surprise teams, and Cleveland as well. So, you know, Indy has done a good job. I think that, you know, and I think we've talked about this throughout the year, with so many quarterbacks getting hurt this year, and it feels like this many get hurt every year, but it feels like this happened by the halfway point of the season, where we're on the second, third, in some situations, fourth guy, for a lot of these football teams. Indianapolis, I feel like, protected itself because they got a guy that they had seen in the division that could play adequate football for sure. They were able to get, you know, Jonathan Taylor, you know, kind of back on board. That's mattered. And so I think they're hanging around and I think that the fact that they're doing that is, you know, probably speaks to the coaching job that's been done there.
Tim, you kind of referenced what I was going to ask you about next. And, you know, the Monday night game is first and foremost on everybody's mind there, 12-10. You had a Patriots-Giants game, 10-7. There have been a number of these games. And my question for you was going to be, is it all just because of the quarterback situation, or are the defenses figuring some things out to make it tougher on offenses these days?
All right, so I would say this. And I know a lot of people have talked about this and, you know, different, you know, blitzes. Or I would say like something like I think some, you know, quarterback runs, which are kind of described as like plus one runs, like those are defended a little bit better than when they first started taking the league over. There have been some rule changes in terms of being able to cut block, which I think can impact run game stuff. I know quarterbacks have talked about, you know, guys wearing different numbers and how it makes it difficult to identify fronts, in third down blitz packages because, you know, it used to be very obvious of like linebacker numbers, secondary numbers. So like, I think each of those things, Willie, like is a little bit, but I would just say this, like the fact that we're seeing, Zach Wilson and Tim Boyle, the fact that we're seeing, you know, Bailey Zappe and others, the fact that we're seeing, Kenny Pickett really struggle. We're seeing PJ Walker and Jake Browning. And we're seeing, you know, guys off the bench like that. We're seeing a backup in Indy. We're seeing, the Titans go through quarterbacks. Aiden O'Connell is starting. I mean, run down the list. Like, run down the list in every single division. Tommy DeVito is playing. Like, there is not a division where you're not seeing somebody that is either a rookie or way down the depth chart to start the season. Like, every single division. So, I for me, I just think it's hard to sit back and say, like, yeah, these defenses are doing this when, like, every division has quarterback or more, has a quarterback or more where they just weren't ever planning on that guy being the guy. And listen, as one of those guys in my lifetime, like, there is a difference, okay? Like, there is a difference between the starter and the backup.
No doubt about it. Tim, last one for me. I heard an interesting discussion on the MMQB podcast. Albert Breer was talking about specifically the Panthers going forward. And they've got the quarterback, and we just saw him. And he was making the case, how much would it have helped, basically, in hindsight, keeping Christian McCaffrey, keeping DJ Moore, who they traded. Obviously, maybe you could make the case they couldn't have both. Moore was part of the package to get them the top pick. But, you know, the support system for the quarterback, he doesn't have much right now. And Bryce Young is – you've got to be really concerned. Whoever ends up with that job, job one is to try to surround him with some stuff. And they – not sure what they got with all those – they don't have the first pick, right? So to me, that's a really interesting question for the Titans in terms of Derrick Henry, DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. They've obviously got to fix the offensive line. But supporting a young quarterback – that is something maybe I didn't think about as much when you have kind of a rebuild coming. You could maybe make a case, figure out a way to bring back Derrick Henry as just sort of a comfort zone for a young quarterback.
Look, I think that, and I would say this, and D-Mace kind of alluded to this with the question he asked earlier, but like I think building around the quarterback, like you need to do it. Like it is so hard. Like most teams never get their hands on somebody that it doesn't really matter who they play with. Like, it doesn't happen. Like, look, Jalen Hurts got a lot better when A.J. Brown showed up, right? Like, there's a reason that happens. Look, Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams better together than apart. So when you look at Brock Purdy having all the success, like, he's got great players around him, guys that would be stars other places. That helps a lot. So I really think that as much as it is about getting the guy, you just need to make sure that he's enough, right? Because, look, the Titans aren't going to be able to necessarily go get, like, the next Lamar Jackson or the next Patrick Mahomes because he probably doesn't exist. So what you have to do is you say, like, all right, like, is the Kirk Cousins, Brock Purdy, like, are we seeing enough of that in Will Levis? Because you can win with those guys if you get it right around them. Like, I think that that's the case. Willie, I had a conversation with a guy, who's connected to a really good college quarterback, somebody that's, is going to play on Sundays. And he probably needs to develop as a passer, especially on stuff down the field. And he was talking about this guy leaving and going to another school. And basically the idea was go somewhere where there are good receivers, and guess what's going to happen? Hey, all of a sudden your deep ball accuracy improves. It's like, well, did it? Or did the guys you play with improve? And I think that most of the time it's the latter. It's the guys that you're playing with. And so I think that as long as you feel like you've got enough, then I think at that point you got to step on the gas and improving everything around you.
Last one for you, Tim. Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Your former colleague, Diana Russini, at The Athletic put out a piece and wrote, Titans ownership is telling me that they believe that they have the right coach in place for future success in Mike Vrabel. And I don't think the Titans ownership would put that out there just for fun. I think that there's a reason for that. Why do you think Titans ownership wanted that out there? And do you think that that's the right decision?
Well, here's what I would say, just knowing like my time working with Diana. I do feel like she was pretty well for like a national reporter, like that she was pretty dialed into the Titans. You know, it seemed to be like she would oftentimes be first on a lot of Titans news in a and you guys know this, a very competitive industry, you know, a lot of these insiders worked in. So, look, there's part of me that thinks, listen, it maybe wasn't necessarily the desired timing of ownership. It could just be Diana being able to uncover the news or have the relationships. And then I would say that why would they want it? I think you would want it just because of all the different stuff. I'm sure you guys are seeing it. Like, unless I'm from New England, like, it feels like every radio station at some point is mentioning, you know, Mike Vrabel and the New England Patriots together up in New England. Like, I do think that there maybe is an element of if there is some of that stuff going on and there were some type of trade that would happen, not with a player, but with a coach, if that was possible, that, like, hey, no, we like our guy. We want him here. So could be for the fan base, could be for trade reasons, could be for a lot of different things. And it also could be something that just was uncovered because of a close connection to the team.
Yeah, Diana absolutely does amazing work. And that is for certain one thing that we've been picking up on. New England media working overtime, putting the Mike Vrabel to the Patriots.
You guys might be getting followed home. I'd be careful. You know what I mean? Like I would have put it past them up there.
Tim, can you answer one thing from your perspective here? Why in the world would it be worth the Patriots trading for Mike Vrabel or any coach for that matter when you would have to give up significant assets and they're in a full rebuild? They don't even have the quarterback now.
Yeah. Well, I think this. I think people believe that coaching matters for sure. I think, look, I would use Andy Reid as the example of somebody, and obviously he wasn't traded, but like Andy Reid's an amazing coach. He got fired by the Philadelphia Eagles. Like, now they survived it, obviously, because of what happened after he left. But like, I think that if you can get your hands on somebody that you believe in and you know kind of what at their core they're all about, and if you feel like it just you need a you know a fresh face but maybe not a completely different philosophy, look, there are a lot of good memories from his time in New England, and I think there's a lot of respect, and so that would be my guess. Now listen, it might be totally bogus, like that also could be true, but listen, the way people in New England feel about Teddy Bruschi and Mike Vrabel and guys of that era, it's different. It's special. And understandably so.
And it should be. Quickly, tell your nephew do not transfer, okay? Have faith in Jonathan Smith, okay?
You feel good about it?
I feel good about it. If the quarterback comes from Oregon State, which I hope he does, we're going to need him. He needs to follow Coach right on over to East Lansing and tell your nephew, stay put. Okay?
I will say the quarterback job down the road at West End is open right now. They're looking for a vacancy right now, fill a vacancy.
Hey, the nephew, the current Michigan State commit playing for the state championship tomorrow night, D-Mace. I know you'll be tuned in to the live stream. Actually broke his nose last week.
Oh,
his
no.
Surgery to play in the game.
Oh, that's the type of play. He's a Spartan right there. As soon as you said he broke his nose, but he's going to play this week. Oh, yeah, he's a Spartan. He's a Spartan.
Hey, go green.
Go white.
He's got it now. He's got the drill.
Well, good luck to your nephew tomorrow night in the state championship, Tim. Appreciate you for joining us. We'll chat next week.
See you guys.
All right, appreciate it. Tim Hasselbeck, he is the very best and catching on.
Mm-hmm.
Go green.
Go right. Hey, got it.
All right, we'll react to what Tim Hasselbeck had to say. Plus, we're going to take a quick football breather. We'll get into some hockey coming up next because the Titans are not on a heater.
No.
The Predators, however, the Predators very much so are on a heater. Plus, there's going to be a familiar face heading back to Nashville wearing some different colors at the end of the week. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.